Good morning. Let's get started. Let's dive right into it with an exercise. So I decided to skip the review just to make to go faster a bit today. So last time we stopped at this exercise where we were looking at how we are moving to a register. So either an immediate value from a register to a register or from memory to register. And the question was, for which of these instructions are we going to need maxes in the previous like computer setup or computer setup? And remember we had program counter, instruction memory, register file, and data, and we had the trivial connection between them. And the question was, where are we gonna need maxes? So let's look first at D. And I think we had a time to think about it, and later than the class ended. But looking at D, instruction memory address input. So which one is that? This is the instruction memory, and that's the input, right? So will we need a multiplexer at this connection here? And you could probably make a bad design that actually does use a multiplexer there, but that doesn't really make sense. We have the address where we want to go in the program counter. The program counter only role is to store the address, and it just connects to the instruction memory. So we don't need to do any kind of mux. We don't need muxes here. Not a D. What about at the program counter register input? So program counter register input, it's the value by which we increment the counter. That's, remember, we increment the counter either plus 1 or plus 2 or plus 9 or plus 10, right? Also, you did this yesterday in the lab. What does that depend on, that value, by how much we increment? It depends on the length of the instruction. When we move an immediate, this is about 10. And we can double check that in the table. So an immediate has all the values, register and memory, all of these have 10. However, register to register, this instruction here only has 2 bytes, the instruction length. Therefore, we will need maxes. We will need to say, are we incremented by 2 or by 10? And how do we do that? We will have a max. Well, we'll have a plus 2 as input, or just 2 or 10. Yeah, plus 10. And this will go to the program counter input. Then what about this other, so this one, yes, we need the maxes there. What about B, register files value inputs. Register file value inputs. So the input value. So that is this one here. The input value to the register file. Now, what are we writing to the register? In this case, we're writing an immediate, a constant. In this case, the value of another register, and in this case, the value from memory. So they're coming from different places. They're coming either from the immediate, or from the register, or from the memory. So we have to somehow multiplex to say, is it is the immediate going to go, or is it going to be from the register or from the memory? And we're going to need a multiplexer there that goes as input into our register file value. So yes, B also. We'll have a we'll need a multiplexer. And then A is a little more nuanced. Register files, a register number, so this is the index, inputs. So will we have to, are they always fixed, or do we have to have some changes there? So let's have a look. We are now studying this ones, the register file, register number, so the index of the register, input. And it could also, actually, it's not just that, it's also the destination. That's also an input. It's also an index input. So looking in the instruction set, register to register, let me take the pen as well. Yeah. So register to register, we move from RA to RB. Immediate to register, we move to RB as well. And then register to memory from RA, but in this last one, memory to register, we move into RA. So we see we move sometimes into RB in these two cases, while for the last one, we move into RA. So for the register we write to, the index there, we need a multiplexer. So there will be that that is, this is the register index where we write, so the destination, and we will need a multiplexer there, and it's either RA or RB, simply because this last instruction has a different destination than the other instructions by default, by the according to the instructions and architecture. Questions about this? Yeah.
What is the difference between A and B?
Difference between A and B. At B, it's the value we are writing to the register file. At A, it's the index. So to which register are we writing? The register index, like the address. Register index. We have. Is that, yeah, so address input, so here is our instruction memory, and the instruction memory takes an address right here, and it gives us a data, because it's a memory. We read from it, right? We pass an address, we get the data. We pass an address that comes from the program counter, and it so happens that the data we receive is our instruction data. So if we connect simply the program counter to the instruction memory, what happens is whichever value is at the output of the program counter is the value we use. And we have, I guess, the option of we could modify, take a value from a different location or add to it. That would be, so we could have maybe an ALU here or something in between, but that would be, I would say it would be a bad design. What we're really doing, and what we've seen doing being done so far, is we're making sure the value in the program counter is what we want to have. So we either increment by one, or by two, or by some other offset, or we jump. So we move, we set it to the jump location, and so on. Because we take care of where we need to go at the value of program counter, we don't have to modify anything at this link. Yeah, that's not great. Further questions? Let's proceed next. So, so last time we looked at each of these in more detail, or let's recap a little bit. what these are. So a program counter is just one register, right? At the input is a value, at the output is the program counter value. At the rising edge clock, the input value will be stored into the register, and the output value will be updated because that's the value in the register. That's how the program counter works. It works like a register. The instruction memory is a memory. It takes as an input an address, it outputs a data. We're only reading from it, we never write to it. Well, we write to it when we write the program, but that's done by the operating system. And it so happens that, you know, we pass the program counter and then we end up with actually a functioning program where we always increment or we go to the right location in the program by simply having a program counter and an instruction memory. And then we do some logic, so we use this instruction data to actually extract the useful information. Which operation is it? Which registers are we going to work on, and so on. And then we interface with two memories. One of them is very local. It actually happens to work to give us the values immediately in the same clock cycle, and we use them. And the other one is the bigger memory. And it also works in one clock cycle, and it simply, the one big difference is that that one is external to the, it's more external, I guess. Sorry. And we can write to it. So we can write to that address, and it's also larger. So this is actually, later we'll learn that this is actually a cache that links to the memory, to the physical DRAM and hard drive and so on, to the memory hierarchy. So the register file has several registers we can read from. Two, and we specify which ones, so like kind of like an address, we specify the register index we want to read from, and then we get the value at those specified register indexes. Similarly, we can write to two registers, again, indexes, and what value do we write? These values corresponding here. And then for the memory, we can read or write, so we would have read enable and write enable. Read enable, write enable. And when we read, we pass an address, we set the read enable to one, and we get the data. When we write, we pass an address and the data. And it doesn't matter what we get out. And then these are connected. And we'll look today through how we can connect this all the way to have all the instructions. That will be what we will be looking at today. So we'll be looking at the entire instruction set and how the connections go. For now, let's look at this first one, register to register move. So step one, we connect the program counter to the instruction memory, and we have this split logic, which will give us some logic, some data, some useful information. So what do we need for the register to register? Well, we need which register to which register, right? So we could say we're moving, well, in fact, we know it's RA and RB. So it's one of them is a source, another one is a destination, and one of them comes from over there and goes. So it comes from the output of the register file, and we can pass it as the value input to the destination. So if we have these connections, technically we have everything we need, more or less. Now, does it harm if we read source B? Doesn't. That's why we have also another connection there. We can read source B and also write to it, register B, sorry. You can read that one as well. Questions about the first one, the register to register? Go ahead.
So for the memory, if you do a write enable, I know the output doesn't matter, but wouldn't it output something? You know, we don't.
Yes, it will always output something.
So what would it output?
Depends on the implementation. Oftentimes it would output simply the address that is at the port, and if you're writing to an address, it will output the value that you just written, or it would output first the value that used to be there and then the value that was just written. It could output any random value because you're not reading, so there's no read enable. Maybe it will output a zero. Since it's write enable, not read enable, the best would be to actually output a zero so that you don't, I don't know, just leak data or, you know, output something fixed, maybe all once. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's as long as you don't use it, you know. Yeah. Ideally, make it as cheap as possible in terms of circuit logic. Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you need source GPU?
So if you look at the register to register, we move from RA to RB. So the data that was in RB is not really necessary, right? We just move from RA into RB. Now, it doesn't harm if we do connect it specifically. We will need it later. We'll see that later this will be useful.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, for now, we actually don't need it. For now. In the previous slide, I didn't put it. More questions? Okay. What if we want to write a different value to the register? So, you know, we are writing either from a register or an immediate or from a memory. So we need a way to control where does the data come from, the value. Where does the value come from? So this value we're writing into the destination register, where does it come from? Does it come from a register? Does it come from somewhere else? So that's why we put a mux, and it's going to be controlled by this operation code. We're going to use a multiplexer, and later we're going to add more inputs here, at least two more, right? So for the immediate, we want to write the immediate into the destination register. So where is the immediate? The immediate comes from the instruction. It's part of the instruction. How do we know that? We know that because this is the immediate, right? It comes from the instruction set. And it has value V, and we can simply pass it to this mux, make sure that that value will be selected using the select signal. It will go as the value into this next register destination E, which now we set to where we want it to be. And notice it's actually, yeah, it's going into RB. Again, we don't use neither of these. We don't use source A and source B. They're just not used. Questions about IR move Q? Yes, please.
Is it just
If we put 15, it's better design. So if the question is, are we not using the values at all, or do we even prevent the read? If we put, if we multiplex here with an F, which is register none, and similarly here, insert the multiplexer, and another option would be to have an F, and they would all be controlled by, well, presumably the same code over there, that's the same signal from the install. Another one, presumably from that same code over there. So that will prevent reading those two values, which is just very good design. It's a good idea to do it. Now, if we read the values but we don't use them, reading is not a destructive process. We can read and then read again. It doesn't change the state of our processor, so it's safe, no harm. So it's fine. We can do that. You can read or you can tell not to read.
If for some reason we decided to, instead of having two read indices, we have like three read indices, would that completely change our ISA?
Yes. If you would read three registers, then your instruction code will look different. It will have three registers specified.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you will also have larger register file because you will have three inputs, three source, three outputs, and so on. Yeah. And what about memory? So let's try to solve it on our own first. Memory to register. So what do we want to do? We want to move from the data out. We want to move into the mux. And we want to say that that has to go into RA. So we have to set this destination value to RA. Right? Yes. And then additionally, we have to move from, let me make sure that we are actually doing the right thing. Memory to register. Yep. Oh, correct. So we are moving from where? From memory at address D plus the value of RB. So we need a way to compute that. So we have D, which is here in the immediate, right? How do we know that that's the case? We know that that's the case because that's what the instruction set gives us. So this value will have to be added with RB. So if we set RB there, then it will be this one. It will be added, passed as a data, passed as an address in. And now we are reading from the right address in memory, and we're passing that value at the input port, and we have to specify that the destination is now not going to be that. Oh, maybe I should just use different colors. Blue. So we're going to have to specify that this will be a different. Well, maybe I made a mistake. Let's see what the slide shows. So what do we have? We have first. Let's look at the destination. Now we have a multiplexer. So previously we were passing value from register the source B. Now we have the option of passing the other one, source A. Now source B is passed, so the value is passed to the ALU and it's added with this immediate, which is now the displacement, contains the displacement. They are added together, so this will give us the D plus RB. And it's passed as an address to the memory, which gives us the data. And that goes into the multiplexer. We have to use the right, make sure we use this one. So the multiplexer will pass that value as an input. Questions about memory to the, yeah, go ahead. Why the mux takes what input again?
Like data out and like our source area and like
So why the inputs to the mux are these signals? These signals. I see. So this mux implements one logic. It configures which of the, where are we writing from? We are writing into the register file, but where does the data come from? And we have different move instructions. So that means we move either from memory or from register or from an immediate. So the data is coming from different sources and we don't have a temporary register where that's stored. Or a temporary wire or something. So this mux will actually allow us to do that. Sometimes we want the data to come from the immediate. Use a different color. So sometimes we want the data to come from the immediate. Sometimes we want it to come from the register, from register A. And sometimes we want the data to, so this is the immediate, this one here. This is the register. And sometimes we want it to be from the memory, which is this one here. I know, come on. So because we have different sources where the data comes from and we have to configure for each instruction which source it is, We have that multiplexer. Hope that answers the question. Yeah. You got a question? No? Go ahead. Go you in the back. Yes.
I was wondering how you could, why the immediate, when it's constant, is the same as the immediate when it's a displacement.
So the question is, why the immediate is the same as the displacement? And if you look at the instruction set, so in the instruction set, we have 64 bits. We have 80 bits. 80 bits, and we can use, or the instruction set designer, the architect that made this instruction set, could have used this any way that he preferred, he or she preferred, right? And for the immediate to register, the decision was, let's have that as the number 3, and let's have a register somewhere there, and then these other bits, they will be encoding the immediate value, the value itself. This could be, let's say, add 42, just fixed value, right? And for another instruction, such as move from memory to register, those same bits were dedicated to act as a displacement, to store the value of the displacement. And that was just the decision taken at the ISA creation. Yeah. Further questions? Yeah?
Is that the most optimized that it can be?
Is this the most optimized that it can be? I believe so. Why? What optimization would you make?
I was just curious.
I mean, it makes sense to me. We decode the instruction, we pass register indexes where we need them, we get the register values, we use them very efficiently, we have an add there with the immediate, we have a multiplexer that multiplexes these 3 values we might want to write. I think that is relatively efficient. Yes. Go ahead.
For it to be a constant, we directly pass into mux. But when is the displacement? How do we know it's gonna be passed into the ALU?
Yeah. How do we know that it will be passed into the ALU or into the mux and so on? So here we have either immediate value, which is I think it's usually coded as a V, or the displacement, right? Now we have these multiplexers, and the multiplexers are controlled by the opcode. The opcode is something we extract from the operation, from the 80-bit instruction, right? And we configure that mux so that when the opcode is a certain value, like we can see in here which value. So when the opcode is 3, this one here, we're going to be treating that as an immediate, and it will be configuring the multiplexers so that the immediate goes through. This will be a 3, and the immediate will go through when that will be a different value. Going back, say a 4 or a 5, then we're going to be using the displacement, right? Let's see this 5. Memory to register. So we're going to be using this will be a displacement. It's always connected to the ALU. This connection always exists right here. It's always connected, right? And then the value at this multiplexer here will have to be a 5. And what will that do? It will make sure that this other value goes. So I'm going to just go with a different color. This value goes, the one from the memory output. Yeah. Perfect. Next slide, or go ahead.
Can you just remind me what the name of that element that has the data in, data out, and address called?
This is the memory, right? This one? We'll just call it memory. Yeah. Was there a better name, Charles, for this?
Grab memory.
Data memory?
Yeah.
Yeah, data memory. Data memory. So it's not instruction memory, it's data memory. Yeah. Yeah. More questions? Next slide. So on this slide, the only point is that when we read, we have to also set the read bit to 1, so there will be a read enable bit equals to 1 when we read. Okay. And there is one more instruction, which is a register to memory. So we did memory to register, now we have register to memory. So we're writing a register value to the memory. So that's like the last one. How do we do that? Or is this sufficient? So this is what we had before, where we are writing to the register file. Now we want to write from the register file to the memory. So what are we writing? We are writing RA. Where is RA? It's here. And RA is not going to the memory currently. So we might want to change that, right? We want that to go as data in. And at what address are we writing? We are writing at displacement plus the value from register RB. We specify RB here, and then that is the value. The value goes into this add, and it's added with the displacement, which is part of that operation code. So that seems to be pretty good. We have D plus RB as the address. We have data in, and we just have to write to set the write enable. So if we do that, it should work. We're writing the data, and we also have to be careful that we're not writing anything back into the destination. So what is connected to the destination? It's something from controlled by the operation code here, and it's either one of the registers or the other. So we might want to change that to write to nowhere, right? So to do that, we need to have another option, the F. If we do that, things should be fine. We should be safe. And that is exactly what's going on. So first we put this F, so to make sure we're not overwriting. And then we connect also register A to data in. So those two changes made sure that we are also gonna be able to do that last fourth instruction. Questions about the last fourth instruction? What we had to change to add that to work? Yeah.
Why do we need this F?
Let me clean it, and so we have this operation code, and imagine there is no F. And this operation code can control the destination where we write to the register file. And it can only control it to be the index for register A or index for register B, because that's what this connects to. This connects to that or to this. You see what I'm talking about? So we're always writing to a register in this case, but we don't want to write to a register. So there will always be a value coming from here. And no matter what we set at this marks, we're still going to have a value. That value doesn't have to be in memory. It's not like that we know what value is in this destination register or where it is in memory. So it's not like we can write the value with the same value from memory, or maybe we could say take it from somewhere here. So that would be another implementation, actually. You see, we could say write to, so make this pass go, so write to source A, for example, and then make sure that this register is the one that passes through the mux. That would be another way to do it, but a simpler way is simply say write to the register that actually doesn't exist, or it exists but it's register none, right? To that register where the value doesn't really get considered. Yeah, so there are two options to make sure we don't overwrite registers. Either overwrite the register with the same value that it already has, so read the register and write the same value to itself, or just write to register none. And writing to register none is just so much easier. So how do we write to register? Now we add this third option for the destination. So if we pass F to the destination, what happens is we write, the destination becomes this register F, which is register none, which is, when you write to it, the value just gets discarded. Yeah. Go ahead. Could you say that a bit louder? So the question is, if we use F as destination for the destination E, at what point? How are we actually writing to the memory? Yeah. So we have kind of two memories. The register file is a very short little memory with only 15 registers, and then we have the memory itself, the data memory. And we can write to the register file, and we can write to the data memory, right? Both of them is something we can read and write to. Now the instruction says write from register to memory. So don't write to the register. Only write to memory. And that is why we put an F here. We don't want to write to the register. So how do we write to memory? One thing we do is we set the write enable to 1. How do we set this? We connect this somewhere with this opcode. One of the bits from the opcode will give us that. Another thing we do is we say what data, so what do we need in order to write to the memory? We need an address and the data. To write to a memory, we need address data. To read, we need address, and the data comes out, right? So we need address and data. What is the address? The address is D plus RB. That is what the instruction says. It's specified right here. How do we compute that? So there is our address to the memory. We have D from the immediate. This is the immediate, this is the D signal. And we have RB right here, because we set this to be RB, the source. And so now we have everything. We have the address, because we have the value of RB, because we set the source B to be index of RB. We have the displacement, because that's what comes from the instruction code. We add them together, we get the address, we connect that value, we pass that value to the memory, and then what is the data we're writing? The data we're writing is RA. Where is RA? It's direct connection from RA. So we set the source of this register, we set the index to be RA. We get the value of RA, and then the value of RA is passed to the data in. So yeah, the memory has 3 ports, right? There is the data in, address in, and data out. And this is our data memory, right? That's the same as that. So address in is the one over there, data in right here. And when we set the write enable, those are the two inputs we're looking at. When we set the read enable, we look at just the address in, and data out is what we take out. Answers the question? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, please.
If we are writing and not reading to the data memory, mm-hmm. will data out still just be the data at the address that we put in? Or
so it depends on the implementation of that memory. It could be, like you say, it could be just a 0, it could be an F, it could be random values. Yeah, depends on what they do. Go ahead. Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, so we already have the hooks for setting the next RA to be evaluated.
So what's the purpose of the
second
mux? We have a mux.
Like the bottom
mux?
I get that.
We have this mux here.
Yeah.
Why do we need the other one here? Yeah, so. So we could do away. So we could do away without this mux. How would we do that? So if we don't want to have this mux, or at least wait a second. No, we just. So you're not asking just about the F. You're asking about the mux entire, right? Yeah, I see. So one reason why we need that mux, the little one, is because sometimes we write to RB when we write to the register. Sometimes we write to RB, other times we write to RA. So we need a way to, and it's true, we could probably, and yeah, no. So you see, these are, so where does RB and RA come from? They come from a very fixed location in the operation code. RA, RB, you see, they're always in the same location. RB, at least, is always in the same location. These bits right here. These are fixed bits. And these ones are other fixed bits. So we want to sometimes write to these bits, and some other times, specifically for this register, for this operation, we want to write to these other bits here. And that is why we need the mux. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. That's a very good question. Next slide, more questions? Let's go. Now, one note, notice that there's a lot of data flow and a lot of control signals. So a lot of these wires deal with data and addresses. Like, this is an address. This here is a data. Instruction data. Then this is part of the instruction that is data. This is kind of like address, right? Indexes. Then we have data, right? Values. More data, result of computation, all of that is data. All of this is also data. While the muxes are controlled by control signals that come from the operation code. So there is data flow, data signals that data flows through them, and then there is control flow, control signals that control values flow through them. Now, there will be no quizzes about this, but what I'm trying to say here is having all these MUX control signals on the image is very cumbersome. And as the logic starts to grow, it will just become too difficult to observe. So the book, and we will, in the next slides, the next few slides will still have it, but in the next slides, we will omit all these red signals. We will just assume that the MUXes are controlled appropriately by the operation code. So we will not show this anymore. We will just hide. We're gonna assume it's there, and it's all correct. So, just to make things a bit more clear, more visible. Okay. So here we still have it, and let's make another observation about what is going on. Notice how we have independent regions. I was talking about that this last time, that we have these independent mechanisms that are configured to work well together. It's a bit difficult to configure them, but once they work reliably. They just work like a workhorse, right? So what are these mechanisms? Well, in this region here, in this, and we call this stages. So in this stage, the first stage, now all these stages at this time happen in one clock cycle. But the reason why we call them stages is because in the next lectures, we're going to learn how to make it that these stages are executed at different clock cycles. And that will just be much more efficient. But for now, everything happens in one clock cycle. We still call them stages, though. Stages, regions, stages. And we have a pretty good understanding. We have a pretty good depiction of them. This is a spatial circuit. This is circuit in space, in 2D, two-dimensional circuit, or some height, 3D. And there is this region or this stage called fetch. What do we do here? We fetch the instruction. So what does that mean? We process the value from the program counter, and we get the instruction data, all the 80 bits, and we split it into immediate bits, so the bits for the immediate, the bits for the register A and B, the bits for the destination. And we also calculate the PC increment. So that's what we do at the fetch instruction. Then we have the decode. The decode only does register reads. So we read the registers. We pass register indexes, and we get register values. That's what we do at the decode stage. Then we use those values to execute. So that is the execute stage. So at the execute stage, we just execute the operation that we have to execute on those registers. The memory stage is where we write to the memory, write or read from the memory. And the write back stage is where we handle how we write back. And what does that mean? Where do we write and what value do we write? In the register file. Write back is writing back to the register file. Questions about the stages? So why do we have these stages, at least for this lecture? It helps us to break down the entire computer design into regions and then worry at them independently. And hopefully, at the end, we end up with a total implementation, with a complete implementation. So it helps us to limit the area of concern, at least in the next slides, we'll see that. In a more text version, we have fetch, decode, execute, memory, write back, and PC update, where we increment the counter. Now, I mentioned that they all happen in one clock cycle. This is a single cycle processor. For now, it's still a single processor. So here is an exercise. So we have this instruction, push RAX. And I do have a reminder about that. What does push RAX do? It writes on the stack at RSP, it writes the value of RBX. So push RBX, we push RBX to the stack at the value RSP, and we also update the RSP. Stack pointer itself. We decremented by 8. So that is push RAX. In this case, it's RAX, not because there is RSP, RBX. So in this case, it's RAX. Anyway. So when we execute this instruction, there are several things happening. One is we read the instruction, then we process the instruction and so on, but then we have some memory changes happening. We change the stack pointer, the RSP, and we also change the program counter. Now, the hint is that registers are always updated at the rising clock edge. So that's program counter, register file, and memory itself. The memory will also be updated at the rising clock edge. So the values at the input of the memory will be taken into consideration at the rising edge of the clock. So the question is, what is the order when these four events happen? Do they happen like this way or that way or that way? What is the order? Take a few minutes, discuss with your neighbors, try to determine which one is the right answer.
Could it be A that she's actually
Need more time? Who needs more time? So who thinks it's A? A? Answer A. Who thinks it's B? Do we have a few B? Who thinks it's C? Who thinks it's D? All right, that's a majority. And who thinks it's E? Nobody. And F, or no clue? Yeah. So let's try to see why do we think it's D? One, so it's clear that we first read the instruction, and then we do three, which is we change RSP, and then we do two and four. Huh. And when, so this then is supposed to mean like next clock cycle, or distinguishable amount of time. Now, think about it. It's a spatial circuit. It's a circuit, and what is going on? We are going to, so we're gonna read two registers, or at least one register. We're reading two registers, right? One of them is RAX, which we want to write into the memory. Another one is RSP, which we want to increment. And so writing to memory, we just need the data and the address. Now, determining the value of RSP, we need RSP itself and by how much we increment it, so plus something. And where do we write RSP? We write it at RSP. So the destination is also kind of clear. By how much do we increment? Well, that comes from here, right? We determine how much are we going to increment the instruction length. And these are all different regions. There is the write area with the destinations, all of it. There is the memory. So none of them have to wait for one another. They're at different stages, in different stages. So the answer is that, well, one happens, it's clear that happens first, but then we don't really know, and they happen more or less at the same time. So the memory can change because we have everything we need for the memory to change. We have RAX. We have RSP, we can compute the address, and we have the data. Why not just go for it? So we provide the data. RSP changes, we know where RSP is, we know the value of RSP, so we have the value, we have the index, we can provide that to the inputs to the register file. And we know the PC, we know the current value, and we know by how much we want to increment. We provide these values, and then at the next clock, rising clock edge, the values we provided will be updated into the memory, into the register file, and into the PC. So it will all happen at the rising clock edge. Questions?
Could you go to the slide where it shows like what happens under the push queue?
Push queue, sorry, you wanted this one.
Oh, I see. So, like, we put RDX into memory at the previous value of RST.
Yes.
Which is why we didn't have to wait for it to update before we did.
Yeah, and in our case it was RAX. Yeah.
It's at the new value of RST.
Yes. So where do we push? We push.
The question is, why isn't that a problem?
Oh. But we know that the new value of RSP is just RSP minus 8.
Okay,
so
instead of waiting for RSP to be updated and then doing the second line, we kind of manually say, do like RSP minus 8 during the memory.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So we know everything we need to know. There is no dependency that prevents us from proceeding. Yeah. Yes. So the question is to explain again specifically why it's not a different clock cycle. So your intuition told you that it will, that these three actions will happen at different clock cycles. But why did you think that's the case? I see. So the update of the RSP is not by another value that we read from a different location. It's a fixed value. So it's something we can do on the fly. Instead of writing to RSP, we write to RSP minus 8. So we can provide the address here to be RSP minus 8. So we don't need another clock cycle. We don't need to update RSP and then read it again and then put RAX in there. The one hint is that this is one instruction. This is one instruction. It just has, the action that happens there are like two independent actions. It's more work that happens. But it happens in one clock cycle, at least in this implementation of a single cycle processor with this ISA. So we have all this action happening and there is really no dependency. We're just writing to RSP minus 8, and we are also updating RSP to be RSP minus 8. Those are two actions in parallel. We're writing RAX to RSP minus 8, and we're writing to RSP the value RSP minus 8. And it's just minus 8. That's not really a variable. It's a fixed value, so it allows us to do all of it in one clock cycle. We'll see later. You can do that at ALU. Yes. So one of the operands of the ALU could, so you could have a max. Sorry, there we go. So you could have the max, and one of the values could be something that you add for other instructions, but one of them could be an 8. And then even this ALU can be, it's an ALU, so we can control which operation we do with, either an add or a subtract. So for push and pop, we have plus 8 or minus 8. So we can use this 8 either as a plus 8 or as a minus 8. We'll see that in the future. Yeah. But yeah, we can use a max as one of the inputs for the ALU to compute RST plus 8. Yeah. Okay. Let's go one by one, each instruction. So for instruction fetch, we are supposed to be fetching the instruction, and we fetch the instruction here, and we split the values into the value C, which is the immediate or the displacement, and the two registers, RA and RB. That's what we're really concerned about when we fetch. And then for decode, so the
And then we, you know, we get those two registers, but then we, for the decode, for the next instruction, fetch and decode, we connect those two together. So for decode, we can assume a basic implementation as follows. The instructions we just the instruction we fetched, we split the immediate and the register indexes, and we connect this to the register file. Right there, as source A and source B. So let's think a bit about is this enough? Is this circuit enough? So, for example, when we do no operation, is there any problem if we pass the register A and register B to the register file for the instruction no operation? Anyone thinks there's a problem? That's a very good point. So it could be that we have no and then something else, like an add. And the instruction memory with this split logic, it's not like it will look, oh, this is a no op, so I'm going to ignore the rest. It will take all 80 bits, right? So it will take some stuff from there, specifically the register indexes, and then it will pass them to the register file, right? So what are we really doing? We're reading some unpredictable which register index. We're reading some registers. Now, is that a problem? You could think it's a problem. We're not supposed to read, right? Yeah. So if we read, it's not destructive. It's okay. Reading, we can read again. It doesn't change the state of the processor. So reading is not really a big issue. But we could say, let's not read. So we could have boxes here that supply F for the NOP. So then we read from the register NOP. So we could improve our design with that. And then register NOP is a bit better. What about for the add Q? What do we want to do? We want two registers to use for the addition. This seems fine, right? We're passing the register indexes. Seems pretty good. What about this one? Memory to register move. So we want to move from the memory to a specific register. So probably we will need a destination, right? And if we look at the MR move queue, we are moving displacement plus RB into RA. So we have the displacement there, that's fine. And we want RA into RB. So we could set RB to be the destination and we move RA. So if we have that connection there, we're good. At least for this decode stage. But that line is something we actually take care of at the write back stage. So write back handles the value we write and destination. So let's not worry about that. But yeah, we need the two registers and the displacement. Those exist, so that's fine. Then the opposite, a register to memory move. Similarly, we have displacement. We have the two registers, the one that we move and the one we add to the displacement to compute the address in the memory. So again, it looks like we're good. Jump and push. So for jump, what do we do? We jump less than equal. We look at the flags. So since that's the case, in terms of registers, it's the same system as the no operation. We don't really use the registers when we do the jump. So if we have those multiplexers, we're good. Questions so far? So raise hand. No. And then the more complicated one, push Q. What happens during a push? We just looked at it. We are doing two things. So we need the RSP register, and we need So basically we need to update the RSP and we need the value of RBX. So if we pass, say RBX, we put RBX to be here and RSP here, perhaps it works. But it turns out that there is an issue for the push queue. What is the issue? So push queue, let's say we do push queue RAX. RAX, this register. So we will need RSP to increment and write back. So we will need to be able to set always RSP right here. So here we have currently RB that comes from the instruction. These are wires that come from the instruction that we selected from the instruction. But we need that to always be RSP when we do a push. And because of that, we have to make this multiplexer somewhat bigger to allow us to have either that or an F or the RSP itself. Questions about this last one? I think I didn't do that great explaining this. So what happens when we do a push? We push the value of RAX to memory, and we also need the value of RSP, because RSP is, first of all, we use that address as the stack pointer, and then we also have to increment it. So we need the value of RSP, but do we have it? We can pass RAX to right here. We can pass RAX to the first one, but the B is already occupied with something else, with RB, which comes from the instruction. And the instruction doesn't give us RSP. So if you look at push Q instruction, it only gives us RA. There is no RSP. If only we had RSP there, it would be easy, but we don't. So because of that, we have to have this mux, and one of the inputs needs to be RSP. Okay, so that is the decode, and there is that mux that will have RB, RSP, and F. And here is a table that basically has all the instructions and then the registers and what sources do we pass. This is a summary of what we just looked at. When we don't want to read, like such as for the knob and for the jump, we just pass F. Here is a final look. The F is not shown here, but there is the RSP. Let's look at execute. By the way, questions about this? Yes. It's still fine. Yeah. We could have a mux with F in both places. Yeah, but we don't. It's not necessary. Yeah. That mandatory. Yeah.
For instructions that does not need the register, like what is the path to go back, to go to the next instruction?
To go to the next instruction, we increment the counter, the program counter. The program counter has the current instruction value, and it always goes to this plus, and we determine how much we add because we computed instruction length. Instruction length is something we compute by looking at which instruction we are at. And then this value goes into the program counter, and that value is the next instruction.
Yeah,
that is the address.
So like, what will the jump
So the knob simply says add one. So at the current clock cycle, we just fetch the knob. We see, so we fetch the knob right here. We see it's a knob.
we didn't realize we have to add by one. We do add by one, so we're gonna have PC plus one. And then at the next clock cycle, so this is where we fetch the knob. At this next clock cycle, we're gonna have PC plus one. So we're gonna fetch the next instruction. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, or then what about the jump?
The jump, not too different. Instead of using the PC plus one, we will have a max here. And we are going to get the instruction from the immediate. Because the jump is usually, there's an immediate, or it depends, right? There is a jump to a certain value. Sorry, just, we're gonna jump to a different value, to a different instruction.
Okay, so that's kind of like immediate.
Yeah, and let me consult the jump. So we have a destination for the jump. Yeah. And it does seem to be in the immediate, it's just, it's a destination. Yeah. We're gonna look at that in a further stage. Currently we're looking at the decode stage. So let's look at execute. For the execute, we are looking not only at the operation code, but also at the function code, the fun-e. So here we are looking at the ALU. We're looking, is this an add or a subtract or an AND or an AXOR and so on. So that comes from the fun. So currently we had the fetch and decode, and we came up with these connections that we have here so far. And now we are thinking, well, for the execute, perhaps simply connecting the registers is enough. So we are connecting these two registers to the ALU. Usually this is what we need, right? So let's see if this works. So for the null operation, assuming that we don't write back, I think we're safe, right? Not too bad. Then if we want to add Q, we want to add RA plus RB, we pass them to the source, we get their values, we pass them to the ALU, and we add the value. Seems like it does exactly what we want. So it works, right? What about move register to memory? Memory to register move. Memory to register move. So we want, what does that do? Memory to register, so it's a displacement plus a register that goes into a different register. So that's usually RB and it's RA, right? Let's make sure that that's correct. Memory to register move, yeah, there we go. RB to RA. We need to read from the memory, so we need to pass it an address, and the address is this one. What do we have? We have RB exists and passes to the ALU, and we can compute this with the ALU. But, so RB is already there, because, you know, it goes, here is the index, here is the value, so RB goes. But then for the D, we can take it from here, so we need the max. We need the max here to say, sometimes use the immediate value. So we pass that value right there. That should fix our memory to register move. What about pop? Oh, by the way, I think we're out of time. That seems to be the end. 10:45. Thank you for paying attention.
Conditions met prior. Hey, how are you doing?
Okay,
how
are you? It's like the, you do...
Okay.
It's like seafood and some stuff. I'm just wondering if it's a good reference to find what flags to set for like less than equal, greater than equal, greater than less than. Is that something to ask Reese? Thanks.
Is there any update on the C versus A on the quiz? On the for the questions that kind of answers that seem the same.
Yeah. I will see you somewhere on the way at 12.
Go into Charles.
Yeah. I'll be at Juice Latte.
Implementing an instruction the same way or doing nothing does mean
if you submit a regrade, is there a chance at partial credit?
There is a comment that explains why you did that, I'm sure.
Well, my comment wasn't super in detail. I said I interpret it as essentially the same answer. But I submit a regrade request, but is there a chance at partial credit?
If you submit a regrade request on a comment,
I just, my comment wasn't very expansive.
Yeah.
Okay, then I might.
It's two questions that each have 3 points.
Yeah.
Another reason why we don't want to talk is
but like, couldn't you include the C as well? Like, make it both of them count?
Could you ask Charles about that as well? Because it's not like that.
Yeah.
I would like to be flexible in that aspect.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna deflect responsibility. Politely.
No, that's okay.
Diplomatically.
I just need the points when I can get them.
Let me stop the record. It will take just a second.
So I have to do it at the same time.